Hello, I'm Anthony. I am a mixed medium artist, predominantly working with pencil. I also use clay, which either is actually also work from. And sometimes I enjoy working in stone, but space is a premium. And having the space to create that much dust is... Yes. I also like collecting art, too. That's me. So just for people who haven't been here before, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read out a primer, just so everybody who hasn't been here before understands what we would like to achieve with these meetings and what serving the people at the SAT form is, what we intend as we poach off people. And I'm going to read this. It's going to sound pretty robotic. So welcome to Serving the People's weekly meeting. We are a non-profit organization that hosts weekly in-person meetings, providing a space for collaboration and discussion. So what we mean by that is, I might have a skill which one of you is interested in, or Rosemary might have a skill or an acquaintance that somebody else would be interested in. And it's very much a space and a platform where we can all skill share if that needs be. And also just learn to engage with each other in a hopefully creative and collaboratively creative way. Because sometimes the city can feel very... vast, and especially where we spend a lot of the times in our studios, which can be quite singular and secular, that kind of open platform for really being able to integrate on a fundamental level to our practice can seem like an other, not really part of the practice. And I think that it's important for artists to, just as with any sort of industry, have an open chat networks to feel like they can collaborate and chat with, which does exist. I'm not saying that it's all ends, but I do think that there can be a level of, you know, people stick to their local studios and galleries that we're familiar with. And these meetings are really about being in touch with people and spaces that they wouldn't want to be in touch with. So that was my breakdown when, yes. We host the meeting every 7:30 to 8:30. Well, it still makes sense. This is the New York primer, my bad.
Six to seven.
We host the meeting.
Are they weekly meetings?
These are weekly meetings.
Amazing.
Yes. Yeah. And the topics of them range from open discussions to specific topics. Some weeks we'll invite artists in for Q&A.
You have mentioned, Skillshare. Have you meant it literally, or is it in reference to the app Skillshare?
No, literally.
Just literally.
So, yeah, say if you have a project that you're working, but you need somebody who has this skill and maybe familiar with.
Yeah.
We cannot guarantee that you'd be able to find someone with such a group like this, but it's very much about, you know, offering up a potential because it might be in touch with somebody.
Opportunities.
Yeah, the opportunity could be there depending on how the individual interacts, of course, with the peers.
Yeah, obviously.
That's such as with everything in life.
Exactly.
So we are a SDP, has no membership fees or requirements. We only ask that you come and engage to the best and to your comfortable with two of us. It's a non-for-profit company, thus reliant on the support of our members. Friends and private people. That's what helped these meetings. You know, that's what keeps these meetings going. As you can understand, this is a busy venue, and there's a lot of demand to use a venue like this. We're very fortunate that we can use such a venue like this.
Are there sessions in the studio as well, or just talking meetings?
So actually, I'm working on currently getting a social together. So as well as having in-person meetings, we'll also be at some point doing group crits, so where people can bring work of theirs, select a number of people, sign up to a Google Doc, and one week will be, like a few of us will present work and have a lengthy discussion about the materiality, contextuality, work. And it's a good way, I think, for people who aren't necessarily used to exhibiting their work or showing
good
it.
Reach.
Expose
themselves.
Yeah, expose themselves, yeah. But also have discussions about, open up, the discussion.
Yes.
Yes. So as well as those, as I said, we will also hope to soon hope to branch out and have external to this group's socials. So we might have group exhibitions in the future. We might have we might have group exhibitions, we might have beat making sessions. So my ceramic studio to try and organize, say, a group of 12 to 15 of us going there and making as a group.
Easy.
So you can individually make or make, you know, on your own. And yes. So
very diverse.
Yes. Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's basically just a space where people can have open conversations and feel like there's an ongoing preemptive discussion or an ongoing project that they are. And this is as much in a platform that if people come to regularly, they are most able to take on and lead a session if they have something. So it's very much no one person is sort of the base of saying the whole notion is that everybody has an opportunity to serve at me. And that's what
it's collective.
The people are people.
Can you guys hear, because it's very noisy there. I think everybody's going to have to really speak up quite loud.
Yeah. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. How are you? Let me sit down.
So yes, today we're going to be talking about painting, which is very broad. Kate, do you want to come take with
that? Yeah.
Do you want to play one? It's up to you.
Sorry, basically we're going to try and set up a Zoom meeting so that people who couldn't make it can like join remotely. Is that okay with everybody?
Yes, hear it play.
Should we do camera on or camera off? We could have camera on and just face it the room, or?
Yeah.
And then we're going to be talking about contemporary painting. We've got like a slideshow of a lot of paintings that members of the group sent in, most of them that they like and that they find inspiring, but some that they like struggle to get on board with. So we're just going to discuss it like an open discussion. If one of the paintings is something you sent in, you can lead on discussing it. And yeah.
So when we talk about particular paintings, that can also not just be the visual aspects, it can be the practical aspects, the material aspects. I mean, contemporary painting is a very broad thing worse. It can be what, like, for example, Lucian said earlier, is there a something that I quite like was, is there a difference between artists who have their paintings made in China, like Jermaine Gillian, Jeff Koons, Assistance, or Avery Singer with Robots, or are we moving into a place where it's an output, not the process or talent that takes integrity of painting? So, like, I think if there's anything which strikes a chord in your mind that you feel inclined to speak about within confines, okay. But I don't have to say it, Lauren. This is very much a space for organization. There are no wrong answers, no matter how silly it may sound. This is by all means just speak whatever comes up.
Can we also discuss maybe at the beginning, before anything, what is painting and what is the point of painting? What is the use of painting compared to, say, sculpture, etchings, multimedia? You know, is there something specific about painting that we appreciate or that we, you know, what is the point of it?
Yeah, that works. That's a good idea. It's a good idea.
It's an interesting question. I never thought about it like this. Because I always thought about art as a form of language. But what's the difference in communication between sculpture or painting? I would say maybe the intention is the same, to communicate and the different type of language. But in terms of receiving it, it's the difference, I think. Because with sculptures, you're more immersed into it. It's like physical next to you. It's in 3D. You can touch it more openly. And obviously, it's in the museum. Whereas in the painting, it's more just visual. It's more, let's say, free mind interpretation, where sculpture is more local. I don't know if that makes sense openly. I don't think I transfer my idea exactly in my head. But I think the difference is in receiving it rather than the making it. Mm. You put it out to me.
I think as a viewer, I think also look at it, say if you're looking at paintings rather than creating paintings or thoughts.
I was only thinking about from the point of making them.
Yeah, making. But I think actually receiving it as a viewer in a way.
Yeah.
You know,
receiving is different. Exactly.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
That's where the difference is for me.
Yeah.
I'm down to hear different opinions.
The definition that I would like to give to myself about painting as a medium is like, as any medium is like, it's kind of like how you articulate your thought through this kind of like fluid, and also is the language between your eyes and kind of like the fluidity of the material. And that's kind of like everything in between that and after that happens is what makes contemporary painting interesting, like from conceptualization to formalization and other kind of things. And that's kind of what I think that is like, is everything that is in between the medium and the thought process of visualizing the results.
Does
nice.
That differ very much from, say, how you would do sculpture then?
Yes, 100% it changes.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, because when you are like interacting with the medium, how you receive it and how you communicate with the artwork, just the fact that it's 3D and one is meant to be 2D, mm. It just super alter your processing and imagination.
Moving well. Into a bounds where that's contemporary painting, and is that not just a different variation? Because, you know, we have relief columns, which could be in some ways being that way interpreted as, they're still sculptures. But when it's a 3D image that kind of does, it's contemporary painting, but I think painting is much more
because I think it's like the kind of like obvious kind of like breakthrough is like the what is the Italian painter that just make the cut on the
Fontana.
Fontana.
Yeah, the kind of like classic Fontana thing is like technically is like, that's more like an sculptural kind of like gesture.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that it had been articulated on painting was so radical.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it makes sense kind of like to kind of like the attributions of how you process this, the medium just is, yeah, changes by it. It's the medium itself.
Isn't it kind of magic that you're actually portraying something from a 3D world and trying to put it on a two-dimensional thing? And, you know, in a way, is a kind of magic.
Sorry?
It's a kind of magic putting a 3D world onto a 2D surface, two-dimensional, in a way.
I think also because, obviously, when we do a work as an artist, you put some energy into it, and it kind of forms its meaning, obviously, when the energy you have, it forces you to choose the colors that you're going to choose or the mediums you're going to choose. And obviously, the energy you put into a painting is super different than you put into a sculpture. And that's indirectly and unconsciously, it's being transferred to the observer, abstractly.
I don't know, I was thinking about, I'd be interested what other people have to say, because I like never have really been like a fan of a painting ever. I also think like, I don't know, in a way painting is kind of like a cultural product, or like I can only appreciate it in terms of skill, like it's impressive because it's hard to do and I could do it. Or like, you know, there's like maybe beautiful abstract stuff that maybe I could do but couldn't come up with. But I don't think, like, it never really interests me because it's like a little bit of a like random aesthetic object that's very devoid of its context, and that it's like made in a studio and it's brought to a gallery or a museum and a house. And to me, it always just like really looks like what it is, which is like an artistic commodity. Like all the painters I know, I work with video, which you can't sell the way you can sell a painting because it doesn't look good with your sofa like that.
So this is what I think contemporary painting and sort of old master paintings have different purposes. Because
yeah, but I find contemporary paintings also like quite reactionary or regressive. Like, why would you paint them?
I mean, originally old master paintings would have been a form of documentation.
Yeah.
And of course, there are plenty of easier methods of documenting things. But I think when it comes to contemporary paintings, they are very much more, unless they're contextually based. There is a, yeah, you're right, a level of product.
Isn't a video a product?
Yeah, it is.
But so isn't it just like, one is a product, one is another product?
Yeah, but I'm everything not saying, product, yeah. But
it's not a matter of taste. Conception. It's a matter of taste. If you prefer a video, I prefer a painting.
Yeah.
In a way that's, somebody else might prefer sculpture or installation.
But it's not the point.
I think I see what you're saying in terms of the reproducibility of the image too. There's like a way that, which is not like a value judgment of different mediums, but I think there's something about the way that the scalability of a painting always makes me think about kind of like the political economy around galleries and the art world too. Like, I feel like in a way, because there is less of the like kind of embodied thing of how you maybe have to be in a particular room for certain art, there's something about the way that it can cross contexts that I think speaks to the issue you're bringing up a little bit. I don't know if I'm misunderstanding what you're saying, but I mean, I love a painting. I'm a fan of a painting personally, but I do think it's hard to take it out of that context too. I don't know.
I find it very rarely like sort of conceptually circular, because it is just like, it is this like to some extent 2D or 3D object that's like maybe not acknowledging its own existence in like being an artwork or being part of the art world. Like it is always like, some people see it as like a view to like a different scene, but it's never, it is always to some sense out of place.
I mean, what's that film?
I'm not saying film is not like this. This was just, that was only about like the commodity. But I think there is like sort of context art or what you would call process art that is maybe more conceptually interesting than some paintings I've seen.
But I also feel like in a way,
I also feel like in a way, painting, if you're coming at it from like more of like a maker's perspective, can feel more like a process oriented art, and that might give it like an angle that allows you to kind of view it outside of just like being a commodity or like a flat piece of work that like, yeah, gets sold for millions of dollars and set around the world or commercial galleries. Because I feel like when you really delve into like the process of, putting ground on linen and stretching it, whatever type of painting process is involved in your practice, whether that be kind of having like a two-dimensionality through texture, layer, and time, it becomes more of this like meditative process that you're engaging with in kind of trying to depict like an idea or a subject. And I feel like that does make maybe painting like a little bit selfish in a way, that you're kind of like the artist's engagement with creating a painting is part of like the conceptual movie making process, and kind of makes it more than just like a thing that you're buying and selling. But I don't know, I feel like, but that's also coming from the perspective, if you were working on a painting, I don't know as much how to approach it if like painting isn't something that you do. And I think that's also why maybe like the perspective on painting really differs from, people who like, make work versus like people who are more interested in like collecting and showing.
Wow.
It's the difference between consumption, and consumption is subjective. Everybody can come with different interpretations, or which are biased in a way. We're all biased, right? So,
well, for example, Bill Viola, is a, as you know, the artist. He sells vast quantities. He is very much on the art world. So, it's a lot of him to also paint sculptures. Yes, sir.
Anything can be an art, right?
Huh?
Anything can be an art. Banks puts painting graffiti everywhere, and a building can become an artwork.
Boy, even things
it's also a question of like how much as like makers we like should preempt the market and like create things with the market in mind, and like how miserable that could be. You know, like it would be a lie to say that like no one's aware of it, but like how much should we take that into account when we're like producing things? I don't know.
Yeah, also like most artworks never sell and have no market and never will, and like it's only very few, very tiny proportionate paintings that will ever have any kind of significant market. So
does that mean
they
the
important,
ones,
aren't they?
Yeah.
Even if they have no market, so yeah, market's kind of relevant in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't there something in just making art, you know, that's different from selling it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Wasn't there an artist
kind of art
who would like make an art and then immediately destroy it when he finishes it?
Yeah.
Like the sand artist.
Yeah. You have a really interesting point though. That I really like we have thought about having a piece devoid of its setting, like you know, a painting which has a certain direction.
Yeah. One
thing.
Thank
you. Showed some shit can be different, and therefore it's kind of losing function, but it was originally a pop.
And then,
in a way, it might kind of separate that.
It's so impressive. Is because, like, we had this one on.
I think that, in a way, it's in Shakespeare's.
Oh,
what? Like, what I was thinking of, like, was that £100. Would be an important of it's like everything you have to do in the back now.
But it's definitely true that like painting is bound to them, feels like bound to the market in a way that like other stone.
Why? That's an interesting point. Why do you think that?
Because isn't it just like a fact that it sells so well?
It sells well and it's the thing that goes on.
What if you don't sell it? What if you don't intend to sell it?
Say again?
What if you don't intend to sell it?
Well, that then. Like, maybe we're having a completely different conversation, but like, for the sake of just like.
I think what Sophie means of all artistic mediums painting into one that has the best chance of selling and of selling for a higher price because of its stability and
I think in general, painting, as she kind of said, it can just be removed of its context and it can kind of, depending on what is on the picture plane. Because you were kind of mentioning old masters, like if you look at Renaissance, paintings was a vehicle for the church and like institutions to give stories and to create this sort of like higher experience of God in the church. But that has not kind of, this is not the same purpose painting has, and it has become kind of an individualistic practice. But for some people, it could be a process of meditation and then just throw, kind of push that outcome into the market because that's the way that they can make money. For other people, it could be about a narrative or something through another form of artwork, but also painting. But then it's also acknowledging that it doesn't actually matter so much your intention as an artist. I mean, it does, but eventually, if your work goes into someone's collection, then it's gonna be in this random space that might not be a gallery. And like, we can even look at that work.
Yeah, I was looking at that. Yeah,
that's fine.
I mean, that is, painting in a sense is like a 2D artwork, so it could just be easily hung on this wall. I'm sure there's a massive context behind creating like cardboard looking thing out, maybe concrete. I don't know what he's made out of.
Cardboard.
Cardboard.
Yeah,
yeah.
Cardboard
with plastic
stuff.
Yeah. Because it's 3D or 3D? It's not just the front like a painting, it's the whole object.
Yeah.
This way,
like,
this way of difference is like 2D and 3D. It's also a little bit obsolete. It's like what you said about painting and like it being so close to the church, because I feel like the history of painting is so intimately close with the history of Christianity. Because like now, I don't know if this is like a talk oriented about the marketability of painting, like because it's huge with the interest, like it being a product of its marketability, but it just feels like what changed between the old masters and how we can see painting now. Contemporary is just how we relate to its materiality. It's like like, said, like, I don't know, I think it's like D.H. Lawrence that said that Cézanne with the fairies and the apples really redeemed Mary the person, and that it was like, oh, no, like,
oh.
And like, I like the redemption of Eve with Cézanne's fairies and finally achieved some kind of easy with the matter. And actually, it's the only way that we can, like, I don't know, you're disagreeing with D.H. Lawrence, but like, that this relationship to materiality and then this new conception of it being 3D or 2D is like only possible because there's something about the end, the death of God and like the end of Christianism. And also something then about like perspective not being an important matter anymore.
Well, but can, like, I take you up on the idea about it being linked to Christianity? Because we have painted hand paintings on cave walls.
But that was not painting. That's not painting as...
It is painting, but also we...
but it's not...
There are painters in many, many...
If it's a hand...
cultures.
Yeah.
In many cultures that are not Christian.
But if so it's a hand in a pigment, it's very different than it's... It's the same difference
well, what
that,
about,
between...
animals on a cave wall? That is painting.
Right, but...
But, yeah. And also, I don't know, carved. Buddhists or... I mean, there's...
But when she says apart the history of painting is linked to Christianity, it doesn't mean that painting equals Christianity.
Yeah.
Hey, you also mentioned the death of God, which is, I link it to Nietzsche. And
don't start her about Nietzsche.
I'm not going into clarity, but like, I'm talking about time frames. Because you're talking about monsters from like the Renaissance, but art changed a lot after 900, especially after Nietzsche and Freud. Like a lot, because we went into them.
I mean, I don't
psychology,
think it changed
psychiatry.
Because of
them. Sorry?
I don't think it changed because of Nietzsche and Freud.
No, I said it's a time frame, not because of them. I said from then, because we, as humanity, we developed our different understandings about our mind or soul and spirituality. We became more understandable as a mass. And I think this changed a lot, the art world.
But I think that didn't change as much as like what D.H. Lawrence said about materiality. That like there is, yeah,
what do you mean by materiality?
Well, I mean, have you ever seen a painting by Cézanne, like, real life? Like,
no, real life.
Yeah, so basically what he says is that there is something, and it's maybe like super cheesy and also quite obsolete, but that there is something about the way he paints the pair. And then, I don't know who said that, but I think it's like, Oscar Wilde? The appley, I'm just quoting as an Englishman. Like the appley part of her, that like he actually paints pears and apples as if they were individuals. So
the skills influence.
What?
The skills influence the meaning.
I don't know if it's I don't know if it's skills, but just that there is.
It's like Basquiat, which there is no skill almost.
I think there is a skill in Basquiat paintings, for
there's
sure.
There's a skill in Basquiat. It's just I think we have to... I want to go back to the fact that painting... We are mainly talking about painting from a Western tradition. Yeah. And painting is very, very wide. You know, it's in every culture.
Right.
You need to be careful, you know, not to limit it just to the West.
I think there's something...
I think painting is...
What we say?
I think... There's also something about like the, I guess getting back to the question of materiality. I don't know anything about
what
visual art, to be fair, but
at lost. There's no question.
You went. You came back.
But I've been lost since the beginning.
Okay.
What is like the main? What's like the?
Well, we're talking about painting.
What's the
painting.
Type?
Consumption of painting and how we interpret it.
It's really open and broad. So.
Yeah, it's a very wide question.
I'm just jumping there. Because a couple of you mentioned about it being 2D, which, you know, it kind of is, but it also can be 3D, like a quite extreme example. Can everybody see?
Yeah, well, I'm happy.
But I was wondering if anybody has any thoughts about, even if it's like Cézanne, how about the relationship between the texture of the painting and like, what does that do? Does anybody have any thoughts about looking at a painting and seeing its texture and knowing that it's got like that physical, even if it's just like a tenth of a millimeter, or it might be like this, like 2 inches?
When I go.
2D physically, the way it draws you with keeps it with that other dimension becomes
technically.
So I use it your athletes.
Yeah. Are you talking about like the perception of depth kind of painting or yeah. Exactly, because it can be like you're looking into something. Yeah.
The artist grows you into their dimensions and the kind of story they're telling. So that would become play.
Yeah, definitely. How about from the perspective of somebody who paints themselves, like a painter, and your relationship with texture, 2D?
I love it, personally.
Love what? The fact that there's more than 2D?
I just love the texture of paint.
Yeah, you mean whether it's a glaze or whether it sticks out?
Just in general, I love the texture.
So we get different emotions. Like when my texture is more scratched, immediately I feel more nervous. If I become more like linear, not linear, like smooth, I feel more ease. Again, it's subjective. That's how it talks to me. But definitely, yeah, there is a different combination.
And the art is totally subjective.
I don't agree.
Well, there are standards.
That's our degree.
Within the standards, it is also subjective.
I think that, because I think everyone have different experience. Some of us aren't even painters, but like learning painting or looking at painting. I love how like painting tradition is usually upheld by an academy or something. And then as you were saying, as people mentioned, like Cezanne and stuff, where they started bringing these different textures into paintings with like pointers and those after, people started developing and understanding that, like, I find that using different textures and like maybe a glazing one part of the picture and a more blended in another one and a more kind of texture place can play with how someone sees the picture, so it kind of draws your eye and attracts you to certain places within the picture and then takes you out of it, and like it can kind of create some sort of emotions, like it, I don't know, if you go like really abstract and you look at like well, the last like Philip Guston, they look like they're gonna come out of the painting, but you don't even want to stand next to it.
Also, like, just that it's a liquid medium, I feel like immediately there's like before is liquid and after is liquid, and I feel like there's this question of, or sorry, not question, there's a thing about like the sort of just liquidiness of being a person and how uncomfortable that is, because it's like preconception is a liquid time. There's a lot of anxiety about liquids spilling over where they shouldn't. There's like kind of cross-culturally all of these taboos about like blood and spilling seed and all this stuff. And I think the idea of matter out of place or liquid out of place and then it being frozen in a moment, both from a creative perspective of working against something that's always drying, and then also seeing something that's kind of liquid and kind of not, but means something else. I feel like there's something very uneasy about that that's also like quite moving and quite different than working with like clay, I would say, or film or something.
Yeah, I never really thought about it like that, but I really agree. I think that that is the fact that it starts out as liquids is definitely affects like my relationship in looking at paintings and seeing the texture and when it's dried.
Something fluid, you know, a fluid line, kind of, you know, scratch. You know, it's quite interesting when you say by the liquid. Yeah, we have emotional reactions to this.
Did anybody who's here send in on WhatsApp a picture of a piece?
Sorry?
Did anybody send in a photo of a painting that they either liked or didn't like so much that you wanted to
see? Yeah, I did, actually. I actually want to talk about the cultural implications.
No, that's a good segue into that.
So I only want to talk about the painting that I didn't like. Because I could talk about why I like paintings and what aspects of paintings that I like and why I think they're culturally important. And I showed a picture which was airbrush artwork. I don't know if any of you are familiar with like current trends of people doing. Is it up there, Money Chops? Like, is the paint for a picture that I sent through just like this really scraggly looking knight?
The knight?
Yeah, is it on there?
There's quite a few on here. I think it probably is.
Yeah, it is. So I'm going to let you see it first, everybody see it, and then I'm going to explain.
I think it's a bit like, sorry.
Yeah, it's like just black and white. The whole image is just.
Maybe I didn't see it.
No, okay.
Can I ask a question?
You told me that I can just get it up on Google.
Yeah.
I don't think this artist will even be on Google, to be fair. it's like a trend among contemporary painters. Something to.
How do you describe it?
How can you help?
I'm just going to pass along my phone by all means.
To express what we don't like about a painting. Why is it relevant if we don't like a painting? Everything works, right? I mean, it's art.
If you don't like it so much, I guess sometimes it can be like somebody mentioned that they shared a painting that they didn't get the hype about.
No, it's not.
There's a lot of hype about it. It's not to hate on anybody at all, but sometimes you can just you know when you don't like something and then you want to interrogate why you don't like it.
Yeah. Well, and also people are allowed to have you're allowed to dislike things. You know, if people didn't dislike things or have different preferences, we would be more monotone.
No, definitely we dislike. I mean, voluntarily you don't like or dislike, but is it relevant if we don't like something?
I think it's as relevant as like or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean both of them. I said if we like or not. I like or not like. Is it?
But no one did. If I liked anything, nothing would happen, would it?
Well, it's more about just the consumption of it. You like it or not like, but if you put too much pressure or give it too much importance to like or dislike,
it
becomes irrelevant.
You're saying
just consumption.
I don't agree at all.
No, I really like the painting.
That's me. I'm more into the process and the experience.
That's fair.
I didn't actually send in anything, but it was something that we found challenging, right? And
my interpretation of
challenging was something that I found conceptually difficult rather than something that I disliked.
I find that conceptually difficult.
Yeah, that's that. I think that's the thing away.
I find it really.
For sure. Yeah. I can definitely explain. So, within. I've noticed trends I keep up to date. I like. Sometimes looking at art online, and I notice that there seems to be a growing trend of some artists doing quite basic, careless imagery, using air guns on canvases, and then displaying it as a fine end finished product. And I think for me, the carelessness of calling such a piece a refined, infinite product. Maybe it's part of the conceptual point because it's probing and picking apart how paintings have historically been put in development. But I don't like that. It feels like a degenerate type of artwork to me, in that it intentionally seeks to undermine
degenerate art.
Degenerate art, as in it. If loads of young people find this a sort of painting medium to adopt because of a growing online fashion to exhibit and consume such art because it seems. It seems current. I just worry that people's hard work or talented painters, technically talented, gifted painters, will have a gaze taken away from them. And don't get me wrong, yes, art is massive and broad, and there are galleries for every type of art, to every type of genre is a boss. But I just.
Do you mind that it's nonchalant, or do you mind that it's trendy?
I both. both. I don't like that it's nonchalant.
I think you don't need to worry because the trend is well over by now anyway.
Oh, it's not. That's from a gallery which had a private viewing opening on Friday. And
what gallery?
And how much does it sell it for?
I'm not going to mention it because it's coming here next week.
How much is it selling for?
It's good.
Wow, okay. Well, I mean, I don't like what I call bubblegum art, which is like, say, a picture of Marilyn Monroe wearing a bubble looking with glitter on it. And there's a lot of galleries in Mayfair now that are selling that kind of over-commercial kind of art. Stuff. It's like taking a photograph of it and then famous person.
Yeah, but if you relate, if you put that in the context of the rest of what is in shops in Mayfair, like it's also contextual to the surrounding and who buys what. Because also you're like, now you're talking about the market.
Yeah. I mean, there might be a Cezanne in there. You just spoke of Cezanne. There might be a Cezanne in the next gallery.
Right, but in the next gallery, yeah. But
yeah,
it's just like...
not in the same gallery, obviously.
But it's
but then we do return to Iris's point of like the fact that like painting is so bound up with us, and like people who like money and taste are like not connected to each other, and like the reason that there are like gross paintings made there is like the people buy.
So yeah,
I'm like,
I know. people who don't understand
The buy is an investment or to launder money. It's a lot of. I have to say, when you apply money in art, art is its value.
They have a different
But they understand art is also a market. So if they do understand art, I think saying that the people who buy bubblegum art don't understand art is putting ourselves in a position that
I
maybe
just wondered if that's going to be around in 100 years' time.
You'd be surprised.
I don't know, there's a lot of art that I think was like seen as like vulgar or popular that has now... that time has passed is like interesting now or whatever. I don't think like to make this distinction of like something being in good taste or bad taste is like such an interesting point, because I don't think it's such a binary. I don't think like there's like trash art that's commercial and there's high art that is not. I think like it can also be conceptually interesting, like someone like Jeff Koons like makes this kind of like trashy commodity art, but it's also to some extent that art is like honest and that it acknowledges that it's a commodity.
Yeah,
I think.
And that probably is also, you might say the opposite. There's actually so many artists that have been very successful in their lives that we do not know their names
anymore.
Yeah.
They're gone.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure the Tate Museum, and they've got tons of those pictures.
But Andy Warhol will be around in 100 years, Andy Warhol will be around in 100 years, and that's like... That's,
I'm not sure that Warhol will be around in 100 years.
I mean, he's got, 40 years to go?
I think Warhol, but I'm not sure about Warhol.
I do think that's
a good point, and I like it.
I
so
think
Basquiat
is more
but, again, why...
Why
do we care if it's going to be something in 100 years here or like in 10 years here?
By the way, as painters, wouldn't we like our work to last?
If you last, no matter if the people appreciate it or not, the painting will still be there and mean the same thing.
It asks the question, are you making art just for yourself, or are you making art to actually change something, to make people have new thoughts? Actually change reality around us?
Both, I would say definitely the second one, but it's out of our control completely.
You want to say something?
Yes. I want to say that I think also the people changed, and I think I agree with what you said, that it's like it's kind of weird to judge the art, because I think the art that is in life is a reflection of those people, and I can't really blame someone for something that the person likes if I don't like it. I don't know what it says, but...
Are you a painter?
I do paint, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm not a fan of the type of morning with the food, but I can't disagree that someone else might like it. Like, I respect their taste. Like, it's not like missing what I.
But what if all the money goes, or all the people buy bubblegum art, and all the other people just can't be bothered with it?
Most people buy the bubblegum.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, you know, wouldn't it be good if we could actually change people's minds so they actually look, because.
Like different people think different kind of art for everyone, and also it'll be infinite market for everything.
It's like this. The bubblegum art, you look at it once, you're like, oh yeah, she's throwing a bubble. How often do you look at that same thing?
Wait, but you said you want to change people's mind, but you said art is subjective.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's also subjective.
But art is like a mission. And like you have to like kind of convert people into the good art.
So it's still about Christianity then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
No.
What if instead of changing the people, minds or changing what they like, we just make different markets? I mean, we can make art reach different people. Because I think art is very limited nowadays. I mean, like, it was to be more limited, and the more time passes, the more unlimited it becomes. I just we need to make it accessible to more people and to more communities and to more cultures. Because there are people who want to consume the bubblegum art, there are people who want to consume Renaissance art. My mom would never put a Bastille in her house, never, would think it's bullshit.
But if you say consume, it says a lot, right?
Sorry?
If you say that they want to consume the bubblegum and the Renaissance art, it also says a lot about like the point of view that you imagine that people have or that maybe you have.
I don't understand.
It's the consuming part.
I'm talking about the verb to consume, and like if you're in front of a painting, do you think you're consuming? And if you are, what are you consuming? And if you're not, what are you doing? And it's like a very difficult question I'm absolutely not able to answer, but I just think that maybe the problem is that then we address the like bubblegum art a little bit, like the Renaissance art, and then we enter these categories of like good and bad.
I was thinking about which is good and bad. I like artworks from each period. I was just saying there are people who and communities who want to consume some of them Renaissance art, some they like the bubblegum art, and what we should look for is expand these communities to make them make that art accessible to more people, instead of changing what people would like. Because some people like something, some people like other things. We cannot control that.
I think specifically the Mayfair Gallery, like you think about the consumers and the people working in that, but the owners of the galleries may not actually engage in the same art world that we're in.
Yeah.
And a lot of these galleries are basically storefronts, and this is just the product that sells. That kind of, because that's what they know that sells. Those bubblegum art are based on a traditional of like pop art, which is kind of remaking, combining this like Andy Warhol, a bit of Banksy, a bit of whatever the biggest names are. This is the first names that people know. They sell the styles that they know as art, and it's that point of like. We have gone through this kind of education that has made us into appreciating other things apart from this and disregard this kind of very easily manufactured thing. And so maybe it's about the visibility of bringing more of what you kind of see as tasteful art into the spaces, making it available for the people who go through those streets and not necessarily going and being like, why do you support bubblegum art?
Could it be that bubblegum art is encouraging us to not think about things? It's just something that seems familiar, like advertising or something.
But
we don't have to consume it.
Should actually, in a way,
I don't think it's the art piece, the artwork, but it's because they sell pages that are made for completely different reasons. And it's because people don't really think about it.
Still, I don't think if Mayfair Galleries adopt a new bubblegum or whatever art they will adopt, it means they decide the future of art. I mean, maybe in 10 years, Mayfair Galleries will all be broke.
What happens is that galleries start in like East End, and then they gradually they find his famous ones, and they gradually take it to galleries or mainframe, you could bust or they retire.
But if you look nowadays, in the past few years, a lot of galleries open in the towards the east a lot, you know, Elephant and Castle, even like Fitzrovia in central, it's boom. So I don't think Mayfair galleries dictate what's gonna be the future of art, especially with the internet and the globalization. I think they won't be that relevant in the future.
I think we're discussing a bit too much about end result one day, paintings being a product, and we're not exploring paintings as a medium for discussing narratives. We're looking at paintings as a refined product, and therefore...
Do you think that's good or bad? Or like wrong or...
Well, the fact that it seems to be consuming the majority of our session, it again kind of illustrates... What's your name for it?
Iris.
Iris. It illustrates Iris's point even more. The fact that we've all just spoken about the products of painting, not the historical patient, how...
I think the fact that we are caring more about the outcome than what the discussion like started with, I think is kind of is like I is a
It's a safe place.
Yeah, no, I think the fact that we are so interested in discussing the outcomes more than our process is an answer to initial question, I see.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think we were kind of saying, what's the future of contemporary painting? If you look back at the last like 5 years, the paintings that we've seen completely changes, the painting that people make completely changes. So like you gave this kind of the night example with the airbrush that is very trendy, and these things do work in response to other trends within our life, but it can be, if you're looking at history, I mean, you don't know what this artist have done, like what the work has looked like before they've done the airbrush, I guess, but or maybe you do, maybe they've done this amazing realistic painting with a lot of like technique that might suit your view of what a good painting is, versus they could have done like a very kind of neo-impressionist naivety kind of painting that's more, I don't know, looking at there's this guy, a London artist called Daniel something. I mean, just figures, basically, like very kind of simple figures in nice solid colors. Maybe like Tal R kind of style, is the idea. But like, these go through trends. It's just what it is. And then some people align their style because it is stylistic choices eventually.
I guess in terms of the process, when it comes to trends, sometimes people will be making something because they feel, well, probably mostly when you feel like you're driven to do it, like you want to express this, it's like coming out of you. But it's interesting to think about how people are influenced by trends and how that could be pushing them in one direction. And thinking about the future of art and consumerism, like perhaps people sometimes artists kind of separate themselves from what's going on around them and are looking for external influences. Because if that's the case, then like you said, people won't be as influenced by things that they see and then like jumping aboard a trend, if you know what I mean. No, I'm not trying to be prescriptive about what is the right way of working. What do you mean?
I mean, you could also say about this painting, like, because it seems sort of quite a superficial airbrush painting, but you could also like argue that this is like, it's very essentially a type of boy painting, and it comes from this like graffiti culture, and it comes from a night, which is like something that young boys are interested in, and it has this kind of like innocent masculinity, which is in this time that like masculinity is like sort of inherently controversial. It is like, I do see a bit of a trend of this type of boy artists that make like work with like
nines and cars and stuff like this, which seems like conceptually quite superficial, but then also gives like a positive and inspiring masculinity of like things that are masculine and not inherently problematic. Like it is not necessarily like a painting that says nothing and does nothing, you know.
Entirely, you're definitely not wrong in that point. Like this, when you apply that context to it, you're correct. There's a lot that can be said for this painting, like in terms of its playfulness and its like kind of childlike manner, for sure.
But, and it's not even technically like it's not easy to do. Also, but you don't like, you think it's careless.
I mean, I have used airbrushes in the past, and I do think that it. Something like that is kind of relatively easy to do, if you know how, if you can draw, you can, this is just me, but maybe that's because I draw in general. I do think that that would be relatively easy to come up with. I understand, again, your context put onto that makes that, you know, a piece, but gives that a different respectability in my point of view, from my point of view. But I think as a medium and as a general current trend within many contemporary artists to be painting such carelessly.
But I don't think it's careless, because I think someone who's never done art can look at this and they do this really well and like it, and that would be their gateway like the art world or something. They're like, it's cool, it looks like this game characters that I grew up with. And like maybe they even feel like they can do it, and then maybe they try, maybe they get it or something. So it's actually this work that might include people into this, and not necessarily.
For you, the only problem is the canvas, basically. Like if this was not on a canvas, you wouldn't be so upset about it, maybe.
No, I'd be the fact that it could be on anything, but the fact that this one's synonymous to a bunch of other styles.
It's like a symbol.
I'm just using this one image out of hundreds of other spray on which I don't necessarily.
It's like a spray can.
But I think what you said is right, that I know a lot of like this sort of like graffiti guys turned artists that like come from maybe not a very art positive milieu that like through there got really interested in art,
where they kind of folk art.
Yeah, I think to some extent, but that kind of ghettoizes it.
Yeah, but then if it is street art, then it completely negates the fact that it's street art, because then it's because then it's putting it in a gallery space which is outside of street art.
It's like if, a lot of street art is in gallery space.
No, but that's, it's not street art though.
Yeah, I don't think it's too bad either.
No,
I think it's a gothic art, if you can put it that way. If you want to put the label, it's really cool art.
That's trans.
Yeah, I like this.
I think it's the same thing, like house.
Gives like chrome hearts vibe. Like, I don't know.
It's okay. I feel like people feel quite comfortable when it just comments, I don't know, because they're like, you just.
The reason why I'd say
people don't know that.
Well, this is like slightly resulting. How would you explain? You have to wait for the artist to explain the reason behind the artist for the engineer to see this. Now, the question I wanted to ask is, are you more annoyed at the artwork and the stage you can give?
I'm not necessarily annoyed at this individual piece of art. I'm annoyed at the platform that such similar pieces are given.
Right.
And the way that they can create a conversation for people who maybe on that, who find it, like you just said, who find it inviting into the scope. Personally, I don't think that's something that should invite people to, because then it's offering them something which is...
Why? Is that because it's like such, it's something that you can like make, so is it you feel like there's like a lack of like technical proficiency?
Well, because I think that it's...
I feel that, and then another interesting angle sometimes is most of the time rather than not getting to certain guys, certain space because of the relationship they have, the eye is weird for then again it all depends how you're looking.
Yeah, I think so. My practice is based on time. I spend clunkiest hours, and this is purely a subjective thing, yeah, but I spend a lot of hours, I can spend 40 hours this morning, drawing the string on page. And of course, there's the time, which is not, yes, there's potential ability, yes, but I think predominantly it's because I don't want this to catch on. And abstract art, abstract intuition, I think the contextual basis is what gives it extra standard.
This has also a contextual basis. We've just discussed it.
No,
guys, we are with us wrap up, so we're going to have to kind of end on this point, I think.
So we're to another
emergency.
Yeah, that's what it is, bro.
I feel like you were just going to draw like the distinction between this and abstract art. Abstract art, in my head, it normally is like all about the concept, and even if you can't see it just from looking at it, you don't really need it explained to you because it's going to be doing something kind of subconscious. And I feel like what you're saying about this is that it's, you described it as careless. So the concept, there is always a concept, but is it more just that it's like being shoved onto
so
the...
I went to
is it the concept like larger?
I went to the private view for this because it's a pal of mine who rushed to the gallery with the curator and
turn it off. What do you guys think of Closet Room?
I mean, it's quite abstract art. There's really good abstract art and there's bad abstract art.
But that's not abstract.
Yeah.
Huh?
But that's not abstract.
No, I'm saying this might be a bad example of something that might in another.
Your point, that applies and gives it wheels to stand, but that's the type of content that gives it the time code that is the content. The fact that it's a Jarvis neighborhood.
It does the value come from the artist didacting us to think that.
I think it does.
Does it matter, though? Does it matter because someone's going to buy this work? Maybe. And they're going to have it on the wall. Yeah. And it's going to be removed.
But how long can somebody live with it? That's what I'd like to think. Does it... Well, are they going to get bored with it, like, in a day? Or they read... They... But it's like a product.
But I also wonder... I don't know, go ahead.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I mean, for like the bubble gum... The bubble gum art. Whatever we're going to call it. It's like... It's like a product of a cultural moment, like it's generated from within our culture, and it's like quite democratic in that way, which is interesting. Like, Impressionism, I mean, that obviously was like the avant-garde, but it's still like the way that we're talking about it now is like that we should impose that upon people because it's like good taste and complex enough. But like, there is something interesting about the immediacy of how like a generating art that like reflects our cultural moment like now, like the airbrush art is like, it looks like other, it's annoying because it looks like things that you see every day, but that's also really cool, I think. And like,
isn't there a difference between like the impressionists who actually made discoveries about seeing the world with different lights and everything? They were actually something new.